Seguli Smugwake, it's 8:30. I'll go ahead and call this meeting to order. Roll call, we'll start with Trish.
Seguli, Trish King, present.
Good morning, David Jordan, present.
Good morning, Lisa Summers, present.
Dowsa Hill, present.
Good morning, Brandon Stevens.
Good morning, Ernie Stevens, present.
Good morning, Jenny Webster, present.
All right, I'll go ahead and do the opening this morning. Downagan Jokwa, Sudhunsiose, Ginate Hundu, Ganahiladunksla, Aguegos, Kajia, Dwahwe, Nuni, and Guatnigula, Daitino, Eladu, Nain, Yunkinuha, Ohanjage, G. Sego, Inadiwan, Yero Hadida, Tunyanduak, Yunguatnigo, Aguegos, Kajia, Dwahwe, Nuni, and Guatnigula, Daitino, Eladu, Nain, Ohneganosogu, G. Sego, Inadiwan, Yero Hadida, Tunyanduak, Yunguatnigo, Aguegos, Kajia, Dwahwe, Nuni, and Guatnigula, Daitino, Eladu, Nain Onegli Suha, G. Sego in Adiwan, Yedo Haridatun, and Duha King Guatnigo. Haguegos Kajia, Dwahwe, Nuni, and Guatnigola, Daitino, Eladu, Nain Kahiwan Dis Awahi, G. Sego in Adiwan, Yedo Haridatun, and Duha King Guatnigo. Haguegos Kajia, Dwahwe, Nuni, and Guatnigola, Daitino, Eladu, Nain Oyunkwaun, G. Sego in Adiwan, Yedo Haridatun, and Duha King Guatnigo. Aguegos Kajia, Dwahwe, Nuni, and Guatnigola, Daitino, Eladu, Nain Onunkwatogu, G. Sego, in Adiwan, Dieto, Haridatun, and Duha, King Guatnigo. Aguegos Kajia, Dwahwe, Nuni, and Guatnigola, Daitino, Eladu, Nain Asanate, Gunahundele, G. Sego, in Adiwan, Dieto, Haridatun, and Duha, King Guatnigo. Aguegos Kajia, Dwahwe, Nuni, and Guatnigola, Daitino, Eladu, Nain Golunda Suha, G. Sego, in Adiwan, Dieto, Haridatun, and Duha, King Guatnigo. Aguegos Kajia, Dwahwe, Nuni, and Guatnigula, Daitino, Eladu, Nain Gundilia Suha, G. Sego, in Adiwan, Tieto, Haridatun, and Duha, King Guatnigo. Aguegos Kajia, Dwahwe, Nuni, and Guatnigula, Daitino, Eladu, Nain Gunjokwa, G. Sego, in Adiwan, Tieto, Haridatun, and Duha, King Guatnigo. Aguegos Kajia, Dwahwe, Nuni, and Guatnigula, Daitino, Eladu, Nain Ojita Suha, G. Sego, in Adiwan, Tieto, Haridatun, and Duha, King Guatnigo. Aguegos Kajia, Dwahwe, Nuni, and Guatnigula, Daitino, Eladu, Nain Owela Suha, G. Sego, in Adiwan, Dieto, Haridatun, and Duha, King Guatnigo. Aguegos Kajia, Dwahwe, Nuni, and Guatnigula, Daitino, Eladu, Nain Ladisa Gayontese, G. Sego, Don Adiwan, Dieto, Haridatun, and Duha, King Guatnigo. Aguegos Kajia, Dwahwe, Nuni, and Guatnigula, Daitino, Eladu, Nain Yunkisota Wehnidale, G. Sego, Yunkinugula Daridatun, and Duha, King Guatnigo. Aguegos Kajia, Dwahwe, Nuni, and Guatnigula Daitino, Eladu, Nain Yodahalo Sunquajiha, G. Sego, Donadliwan, Dieto Haridatun, and Duha, King Guatnigo. Aguegos Kajia, Dwahwe, Nuni, and Guatnigula Daitino, Eladu, Nain Yoji Stokwalu, G. Sego, in Adliwan, Dieto Haridatun, and Duha, King Guatnigo. Aguegos Kajia, Dwahwe, Nuni, and Guatnigula, Daitino, Eladu, Nain Gaye Niungwedage, G. Sego, in Adiwan, Dieto, Haridatun, and Duha, King Guatnigo. Aguegos Kajia, Dwahwe, Nuni, and Guatnigula, Daitino, Eladu, Nain Scanadalio, G. Sego, in Adiwan, Dieto, Haridatun, and Duha, King Guatnigo. Aguegos Kajia, Dwahwe, Nuni, and Guatnigula, Daitino, Eladu, Nain Sunquai Disu, G. Sego, in Adiwan, Dieto, Haridatun, and Duha, King Guatnigo. Dani. Thank you everybody for being here this morning. We'll move on to our special recognition of years of service. Geraldine usually heads this up.
Good morning. We're here today to recognize employees who have given 25 years of service or more to the United Nations. That's a long time. Somebody asked me, how many years is that when you count each of those blankets? That's a lot of years for employees to have been here with the nation. So some of the things that happened in 1987, and some of you may remember this, that a resolution was adopted to develop an internal bingo game for those employees who were not allowed or prohibited from participating in gaming activities. I think that was called Top of the Hill Bingo at one time. In 1992, on April, the commemorative staff honoring the first historic voyager, Christopher Columbus, to the New World was banned from sail on the reservation. They had a record turnout of OBC election and re-election of Percy Paulus and Rick Kell. So those are some of the things that occurred while these guys were employees with the nation. So with that, we're going to start out with 30 years of service, and we will start with Loretta Matoxin. Andrew? You are supposed to stand right here, ma'am, so everybody can see you.
You gonna talk in there or what?
Or what?
Andrew?
I'm not Andrew, I'm Reggie.
Huh?
I'm Reggie.
Oh, you're Reggie, sorry. It says Andrew on my paper.
Retta, on behalf of the Oneida Nation, it is with great pleasure to present this years of service commendation on this 25th day of October 2017. Loretta has provided 30 years of continuous commitment to the Oneida Nation. Throughout the years, Loretta has proven to be a trust asset, a true asset to the Oneida Nation and the History Department through hard work, dedication, accountability, and most of all, work ethic. Loretta takes pride in her responsibilities, which reflects in her daily duties as the tribal historian, and is highly respected in the cultural heritage. On behalf of the Oneida Nation, the Oneida Business Committee is thankful to Loretta for her unwavering dedication to the Business Committee, Land Claims Commission, Trust Committee, and Oneida Community. Thank you.
Can I say something? I'm asking if I can say something. I'll say it whether or not. Actually, it's 50 years. There's a little break between 1984 and 1987 when I worked with the United Amerindian Center in Green Bay. But that was partially funded by the tribe also. I was first elected to the secretary position in 1967. Most of you were not born yet. And I had come back from working with the United States Air Force, and I was asked to run for secretary by Oscar Archiquette and Norbert Hill Sr., and I refused. I refused three times. They kept coming back to my house. And I said, you know, I don't have running water. This is 1968. I don't have running water, and I've got seven children. I don't think I can dedicate my time to the tribe. And they said, we'll elect you, and whatever works out, works out. So I've been here 50 years. I'm 85 years old, so I don't know if I'll be here another 50.
Thank you.
Next, we have Julie Clark with 30 years of service.
Good morning. Today we celebrate Julie Clark on her 30 years of service with the Oneida Nation. Julie began her career selling pull tabs prior to the main casino expansion. In 1992, she moved on to the vault area where she began her supervisory role, then transitioned to training where she became the training and development manager. Soon after, she served as the property shift administrator. Then the Balanced Scorecard Initiative was created, and Julie enthusiastically took on the responsibility for its program development for the nation. In 2013, Julie transitioned to her current role as Organizational Development Specialist. Julie is invaluable to this organization as she interacts with employees at all levels, from new employee orientation to senior management strategy sessions. Her positive demeanor and upbeat personality are reflected in everything she does and are greatly appreciated by everyone she works with. Thank you, Julie, for your many valuable contributions over the past 30 years.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Okay, our next 30 years of service is Diane Bokes, but I understand she wasn't able to make it today. So our next 30 years of service recipient is Rebecca Schomer.
Becky has provided 30 years of continuous commitment to the United Nations, with 17 of those years in the Internal Audit Department. Throughout the years, Becky has proven to be a true asset to the United Nations and Internal Audit Department through hard work, dedication, creativity, and most of all, work ethic. Becky takes pride in her responsibilities, which reflects in her daily duties as executive assistant, and is highly valued in the Internal Audit Department. On behalf of the United Nation, the United Business Committee is thankful to Becky for her unwavering dedication to the organization and community.
Next, we have Carmen Danforth with 30 years of service.
Carmen has provided 30 years of continuous commitment to the United Nations. Throughout the years, you have proven to be a true asset to the United Nations and multiple departments by demonstrating hard work, dedication, accountability, and most of all, work ethic. We honor you for your part you play in maintaining our performance standards and commitment to excellence. Carmen takes pride in her responsibilities, which is reflected in her daily duties as a shipping receiving specialist, and is a highly respected inside and outside the accounting operations department. On behalf of the United Nations, the United Business Committee is thankful to Carmen for her unwavering dedication to the organization and the community.
She tried. Okay, next we have Carrie Cornelius with 25 years of service. I need someone from, oh, here he comes.
Morning. Carrie has provided 25 years of continuous commitment to the United Nations. Carrie started working for the Security Department back in 1992. He held different positions such as officer, lieutenant, and sergeant. We know that the growth and success of our organization depends largely on the capable staff we have working for us. It is a pleasure to have you as part of our team and appreciate your continuous efforts to succeed. On behalf of the United Nations, the United Business Committee is thankful to Carrie for his unwavering dedication to the organization and community. Thank you.
Next, we have Margaret Cruz, also known as Margot, with 25 years of service.
Good morning. on behalf of the Oneida Nation, it is with great pleasure to present this years of service commendation on the 25th day of October 2017. To Margaret has provided 25 years of continuous commitment to the Oneida Nation. Throughout the years, Margaret has proven to be a true asset to the Oneida Nation and most recently the Economic Support Department through hard work, dedication, accountability, and most all work ethic. Margaret takes pride in her responsibilities, which reflects in her daily duties as the intake coordinator and is highly respected in the Economic Support Department. Margot has been with us for 11 years in our department, and she truly has the community at her fingertips every day. She's making sure that our tribal members are taken care of and getting the best services that they can, so I appreciate her. Thank you.
Next, we have Garth Webster with 25 years of service.
Good morning. On behalf of the Oneida Nation, it is with great pleasure to present this years of service commendation on the 25th day of October, 2017, to Garth Webster. Today, we congratulate Garth on his service of 25 years with the Oneida Nation. Garth began his career at the Radisson Hotel, eventually transitioning to the retail enterprise. He soon found his calling as a graphic designer within the gaming marketing department. Garth's loyalty and steadfast commitment have proven invaluable. From the smallest project to the largest undertaking, his technical and artistic talents, along with his eye for detail, are evident in everything he does. Always taking pride in himself and his work, Garth's dedication and continued contributions are integral to the success of the Oneida Nation. We acknowledge and appreciate Garth not only as an employee, but as an integral part of gaming's growth and success. Thank you, Garth, for your many valuable contributions over the past 25 years.
Next, we have Lloyd Zizey with 25 years of service.
Good morning. Lloyd has provided 25 years of continuous commitment to the Oneida Nation. Throughout the years, Lloyd has taken pride in his daily duties and proven to be an asset to the Oneida Nation and Casino. The high quality of service, as well as your contributions to the company, are greatly valued and appreciated. We take this opportunity to recognize your long years of service. On behalf of the Oneida Nation, the Oneida Business Committee is thankful to Lloyd for his unwavering dedication to the organization and the community. Congratulations.
Next, we have Susan Higgs with 25 years of service.
Congratulations. I've known Susan for all 25 years, and if there's one word that describes her, is passion. And Susan has the passion to do her job at a very high level. She has the passion to treat people with respect and dignity. She has passion for this community. She has passion for her position. She has passion for her employees. It's just an honor to work with her. It's an honor to just present her with this certificate and with this blanket. She also just truly cares about the community, and she cares about making a difference. And we've had a lot of great talks over the years about how we can make a difference in this community. And she always is very innovative and creative and just passionate about like what she wants to accomplish. Susan has provided 25 years of continuous commitment to the Oneida Tribe. Throughout the years, Susan has proven to be a true asset to the United Nations and the WIC Nutritional Services Department through hard work, dedication, accountability, and most of all, her work ethic. Susan takes great pride in her responsibilities, which reflects in her daily duties as Nutritional Services Director, and is highly respected within both the organization and the community. On behalf of the Oneida Tribe, the Oneida Business Committee is thankful for Susan for her unwavering dedication to the organization and this community. Congratulations.
Next, we have Jeff Witte with 25 years of service.
Watch out for the cord. Good morning. On behalf of the Oneida Nation, it was with great pleasure to present this year of years of service commendation on this 25th day of October 2017 to Jeff Witte. Jeff has provided 25 years of continuous commitment to the Oneida Nation. Throughout the years, Jeff has proven to be a true asset to the Oneida Nation and the Planning Department through hard work, dedication, accountability, and most of all, work ethic. Jeff takes pride in his responsibilities, which reflects in his daily duties as a planner. Jeff's work is highly respected by the community and his co-workers, with a focus on providing a better quality of life for the Oneida Nation. On behalf of the Oneida Nation, the Oneida Business Committee is thankful to Jeff for his unwavering dedication to the organization and community. Thank you. Thank you.
Next, we have Sherry Flogger with 25 years of service.
Sherry has provided 25 years of continuous commitment to the United Nations. Throughout the years, Sherry has proven to be a resource to the United Nations Security Department through hard work, dedication, and accountability. Sherry has proven to be an adequate grasp on, has proven to have an adequate grasp on knowledge, information, and methods in order to perform her job. On behalf of the United Nations, the United Business Committee is thankful to Sherry for unwavering dedication to the organization and community.
Next, we have Victoretta Hensley with 25 years of service.
Good morning. Victoretta has worked for the Oneida Tribe for 25 years, and the majority of those years, she's worked in the human resources departments in various capacities, from benefits director to now the workforce development manager. Victoretta has a passion for helping people. About 5 years ago, she partnered with Connie Danforth and the Grants Department to apply for the Workforce Development Grant. And she's been implementing it for the last 4 years. We have one more year left in the grant. And some of the things that her staff, one of her staff members said about her is that she's very understanding and empathetic. She tries to find the good in all people she works with. And she's always willing to seek out guidance, career advice, and she also lends a sympathetic ear when needed. She's worked over the last 4 years as far as helping, working with the trans program, helping the Oneida people gain training so they're so they can gain employment. And she's exceeded the grant's expectations with the number of applicants that she's worked with,
and also institutions, educational institutions that she's partnered with. We're very fortunate to have her working here for the United Nations. She really has a passion for helping people. Thank you very much, Victoretta, for 25 years of service.
Next, we have Deanna Stevens with 25 years of service. There's a saying that it takes a village to raise a child. And if you think about Deanna working with approximately 50 to 60 students every year for 25 years, that's a lot of kindergartners she's helped raise. Deanna has worked for the school for 25 years, and for about the last 10 years I've been her supervisor. Deanna has provided 25 years of continuous commitment to the Oneida Nation. Throughout the years, Deanna has proven to be a true asset to the United Nations school system. She is a nurturing and caring role model to our youngest students and has primarily worked in the kindergarten clan. You'll see Deanna running all over the school in her tennis shoes, helping wherever she's needed. There you will see her patiently working with students, whether it is learning the alphabet, tying shoes, wiping noses, and giving and receiving hugs. She is dependable and hardworking. She has strived to continue her education and has earned her associate's degree in elementary education. Our school is fortunate to have her commitment and dedication throughout these 25 years, and I've been honored to be her supervisor. Y'all won't call. Next, we have Ricky Denny with 25 years of service.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Frank Cornelius, Director of Table Games. It's my pleasure to announce that Rick Denny has provided 25 years of continuous service for the Oneida Tribe. Currently, Rick is a floor supervisor with the Oneida Casino Table Games Department, and he's a well-respected person who displays integrity, professionalism, and is personally accountable for the success of the casino. So with this said, I'd like to congratulate him on the 25 years he's provided our nation. Geraldine, if you don't mind, I want to say just one more thing. I had the pleasure of traveling to Las Vegas about 3 weeks ago to, we go out there, we buy our products every year, about once a year. It's a gaming show. And when I was at that gaming show, I ran into a sales executive who provided the very first slot machines to this casino back in, Dave would probably know better than me, but I'm gonna say about 1991, 92, somewhere in there. So it got me thinking, you know, we have a lot of gaming employees today, and the gaming employees that joined 25 years ago, you know, they took a risk on joining the casino, and I very much appreciate what they've accomplished over these 25 years, and it's been very important to our nation. So thank you.
Next, we have Tanya Webster with 25 years of service.
Hi, good morning. My name is Patrick Stensloff, and I'm the Director of Purchasing. And I'm honored to be standing here in front of you today as we recognize Tanya Webster for her 25 years of service. Funny thing, earlier this month, Maureen sent us a notice that we were going to be here today, and Tanya says, I think I'm going to be sick that day. So I promised her that I would do all the talking and that she could stand next to me and smile. because there was no way that we were going to miss today. 25 years of service is such an incredible accomplishment. I'm sitting here smiling because I just can't get over the years of service that are in this room today, and it just makes me really proud to be a part of that. So I wrote a couple of things about Tanya's career. I worked with some of our employees within my department, and I started out, and it was about 2 pages. I said, well, I can't talk that long. So a couple of things. Did you know that Tanya was the founding employee of the licensing department? All of its policies, its agreements with the state, the compacts are results of her efforts to make our licensing department a legitimate registration department for eligible tribal members. She also showed the initiative to utilize a grant which allowed our license plates to be viewed by the National Department of Transportation database for the convenience of our customers. And to my knowledge, I believe the United Nation is the only tribe that does that across the country. So that, again, speaks to her dedication. Tanya acts as a resource to other tribes who are looking to start their own tribal departments for motor vehicle. She's recognized as a leader within Indian community, and other tribes have come to our department to shadow and learn from Tanya on how they are going to go back and develop a licensing department of their own. She's dedicated her firm dedication as she's worked with the Oneida Law Office, the Brown County Clerk, the State Vital Records to make sure that the Oneida marriage license were done properly for all tribal members, and more importantly, that they be recognized by the state of Wisconsin. She has served faithfully on the powwow committee for nearly 20 years, she told me. That's incredible. And has dedicates a lot of her free time and is always searching for ways to honor our nation. We could all learn a little bit about, you know, that kind of level of dedication that she has shown. So on behalf of the Oneida Nation, the Oneida Business Committee, I'd like to say thank you to Tanya for her 25 years of service. Thank you.
Big guy. Next is Sylvia Cornelius with 25 years of service.
Good morning. I have the honor to congratulate and extend the appreciation for Sylvia for the 25 years of service. She actually started out in gaming 25 years ago in the gaming, the games area, right? So, table games. So, it's incredible. She must have started when she was 6, I think. I didn't know we'd let people in the casino that young, but she then moved into various positions in gaming and then also the organization, including the planning department. She actually started with the environmental health and safety area in the year 2000 as an environmental specialist. Throughout the years, Sylvia's taken on many projects and completed many great assets to the community. She's proven truly been an asset in embracing our cultural legacy, and as she blends that with the environmental and natural resource programming within our area and our outreach to the Oneida youth and to the community. She continues to accept many challenges, leading teams to complete many projects on the land as we try to improve the lands and the natural resources and trail systems so we can invite the community back to our lands for us to enjoy them and to use them. She's also, you can look on our website, she's led our teams to create our trails booklet. We'll list about 20 miles of natural trails that the community can use and about 20 miles of hard surface trails. She's also created our culturally significant plant book, which is interactive on the website. So I just want to thank Sylvia for her 25 years of dedication, and she just accepted a new role as the Eco Services Manager for our division. So thank you very much, Sylvia.
Next, we have Blair Broughton with 25 years of service.
Good morning. My name is David Emerson. I'm the slot director for Oneida Casino, and I'm here to honor and recognize Blair Broughton. Blair has provided 25 years of continuous service to the Oneida Nation, and as a longtime assistant director in the slot department of the casino, Blair has provided quality leadership and a high level of knowledge to his staff and coworkers. He remains eager to learn new things and to grow as a professional, and I extend my appreciation to Blair for his 25 years of service. So on behalf of the nation, the business committee, we're thankful to Blair for his unwavering dedication to the organization and community. Congrats, Blair.
Next, we have Shad Webster with 25 years of service.
Good morning again. It's a great honor for me again to kind of recognize Shad for his 25 years of service. And if you don't know Shad personally, you can understand that his position as a natural resource director, he's perfect for that. I think he knows every square inch of this Oneida Nation. He's probably been in it, on it, crawled it, ran it, just about everything possible you can do around the land. So, but Shad did start out as the internal security guard and 25 years ago, and then he moved to as a conservation warden in 1994. So he had the desires early on to provide protection in the natural resource area. At that time, conservation did report to the Oneida Police Department, but in just a couple, I think a year later, then they joined us in an environmental health and safety division. In 1997, he actually became the natural resource director. So Shad, through many years of his dedication and his services around improving the natural resources and to all Oneida Nation lands for tribal members to enjoy, recreate, hunt, to gather, and also to provide a safe and protective way for them to do that. He's taken great pride in developing and managing the hunting and fishing regulations for our nations to strengthen our right to govern ourselves and to protect the natural resources. Shad is also the lead person for our division to work with the environmental resource boards as we plan together to try to put more improvements to the land so we have more opportunities to invite our people back to the land. So I really appreciate all of Shad's dedication to the natural area, the wildlife and the little critters that surround it. So thank you very much, Shad.
Wow, that's a lot of people. I think that's the longest I've ever seen the line go down the down the wall. Let's give these guys one more round of applause for their time and dedication to the nation. So this time the committee is going to come down, shake hands, and if you'd like the box for your blanket, they're back in the corner.
All right, good morning. We're going to go ahead. Next, we have the adoption of the agenda. And as far as I'm aware, there are no additions or changes or deletions. So motion to adopt the agenda would be in order.
So moved.
Second.
Motion to adopt the agenda has been made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next up, we have oaths of office. Lisa Summers.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have the oath of office this morning. I believe we need a Joshua Hicks, Shirley Barber, and Jeanette Ninham. All right, you can all come on up to the front.
I, Jeanette Ninham.
I, Josh Ricks.
Hereby promise.
Hereby promise.
To uphold the laws and regulations.
To uphold the laws and regulations.
Of the United Nations. The General Tribal Council.
And the Tribal Constitution.
I will perform my duties to the best of my ability. And on behalf of the United People. With honor, respect, dignity, and sincerity. And will maintain confidential information with the strictest confidentiality. I will carry out the duties and responsibilities. As a member of the United Anna John Community Care Center Board. And all recommendations shall be made. In the best interest of the United Nation as a whole.
Thank you.
All right, the next order of business, we have the minutes. We have approve October 11th, 2017 regular meeting minutes.
So moved.
Is there support?
Support.
Motion has been made and seconded. Any discussion on the minutes? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next up is approve October 13th special meeting minutes.
So moved.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next section of the agenda is the resolutions. We have adopt resolution titled Zero Suicide Initiative. The requester is Mary Kreischer, sponsored by Dr. Veer and Debbie Danforth.
Morning. I know Mary's not here. This is for her department. We have a resolution for a zero suicide initiative grant. This grant is through the Indian Health Services, and she is requesting $400,000 with no match to the purpose of applying for this grant is that she wants to provide suicide prevention training to all the employees of the nation every 2 years. They want to start a plan. She's also part of the Tribal Action Plan that's going on right now. So this is part of her plan to get this zero suicide initiative plan that she's trying to create going. So the resolution is required as part of the grant guidelines.
Debbie?
Good morning. The Zero Suicide is actually to develop a team that will work across the division and will work within the nation as a whole. The team itself is a multidisciplinary team that will address suicide at every level, primarily in the primary care setting, and will help to assist and train all of our providers, all of our staff that can address the issues of suicide at any point of contact throughout the nation, wherever they make contact with. So it is an initiative that Indian Health Service is taking on, and our team has been identified, and they've already gone for the first round of training, which was part of the requirement for the grant itself. There's a number of other tribes across the nation that are implementing these teams to address the issues of suicide across the Indian country.
Lisa?
Can you just please describe what the $400,000 covers?
Most of that money will be covering gathering materials and everything for her training component.
Okay. Thank you.
Brandon?
We received some information on a treatment grant, but it was a really short timeline. I think it was released October 10th, and the closing date is the 3rd. Or the 10th of November. But I do believe, since the short timeline, these grants like this, usually when there is a short timeline, they'll extend the deadline in some cases when they don't receive any.
Sometimes they do. Sometimes
yeah, when they don't receive any applications. And I know this was a short turnaround time. So if we can kind of take a look at that one. Mary knows about it. And so I don't know if we have the ability to do it.
I know there was a application or a notice that came across my desk a few weeks back. But in looking at those guidelines, it was specifically for certain counties within the state. Majority of those counties were out west.
Okay.
So we weren't even eligible to begin with.
Okay.
So if there is another one, we will certainly take a look at it, though.
Yeah, that's definitely what we're going to look for. We don't need a bricks and mortar, per se, I don't think, but more so just the services within to cover administration and treatment,
right.
I guess. So, yeah, I just kind of look at those type of there's a lot of movements, and I kind of want to make sure everything's kind of aligning in our direction so we can kind of control what we're able to provide. Thank you.
Lisa?
I'll make a motion to adopt the resolution entitled Zero Suicide Initiative.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor of adopting the resolution signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next resolution, there's two of them, regarding State Bank and Trust Company Agreement. A resolution entitled Appointing State Street Bank and Trust Company to Act as the Trustee for Oneida Nation Employees 401k Plan.
Morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
The resolution is required. We are switching platforms for the 401k enterprise and governmental plans. Transamerica brought it to our attention that due to the level of assets within our plan, we should go with a larger platform, which can provide better customer service and also reduce the fees for the employees. Overall, I believe the cost will be reduced by $65,000 to $75,000, which, you know, will compound as earnings come through. So that's what the request is for.
David?
I'll make a motion to approve the Transamerica Trust Agreement for the Oneida Nation Enterprises 401k plan and the Oneida Nation Government 401k plan that appoints the State Street Bank and Trust as trustees of the plan.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Just for clarification, that the motion is to adopt both resolutions for the enterprise and governmental.
Correct.
Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next up is the adoption of resolution entitled Opposition to the 2017 Senate Bill 395, Regulation of Nonferrous Metallic Mineral Prospecting and Mining.
So moved. Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Discussion? Just a little bit of, I guess, discussion for myself. This is a resolution that we're bringing forward. It's in kind of in conjunction with Menominee with their Back 40 mine opposition. And in the state, there's been this law in place for many years now, which effectively stops new mine development going on in the state of Wisconsin until such time as they can prove that mines have been shut down for a pretty lengthy amount of time and not have any environmental concerns. And so this proposed change to the law to strip those requirements out and therefore make it easier for more mines to be activated and in the state of Wisconsin. So at this point, if this resolution is voted on and passed, Oneida Nation will be in support of opposing that legislation going forward. I think it's a responsibility of ours to ensure not only that our reservation is in good condition, safe and healthy, but you know, our greater area in the state as well. And anytime we can take the steps to assure that we're protecting the environment to the best of our abilities, I think we should do so. And that's what we hope to do here today. So not seeing, we'll go ahead and vote on the motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right. Thank you, everybody. Next up is to adopt the resolution titled Fiscal Year 2019 to 2022 Triennial Strategic Planning, or Fiscal Planning, I'm sorry, Strategic Fiscal Planning. Trish.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm presenting this resolution seeking business committee support in regards to the triennial budget. There's three initiatives that we're trying to accomplish. One is to, quote, unquote, connect the dots in relationship to our strategic directions and our strategic plans that we just presented through our retreat. Another is to come into compliance specifically with Section 121.4 of the Budget Management Act. And the third part process is to give direction to the operations in regards to continuing to for the budget guidebook, through the budget guidebook, I'm sorry. That sets the parameters for the direction of the organization. And it also continues the work that we created in 2015, which calls for economic sustainability, good governance, social programs, programming, and a rising standard of living for all Oneidas. With the TAP initiative, all of the programs will also be coordinating as much as they can without adjusting their budgets too much. The TAP initiatives, and then as we get that outlined and defined, then that will adjust in fiscal year 19. So this resolution really sets the groundwork and the foundation for putting all of our strategies together and aligning it to the budget and the directions moving forward.
Any additional discussion on the resolution? Lisa?
I just had a, I guess it's not a real huge concern, but it is a concern, and I brought it up during strategic planning. I continue to bring it up starting on line 113. You go through the three requirements, which is great. It outlines exactly what it is that we're looking for from each one of the areas. Specifically on line 117, though, we're talking about the statement of the fund unit's mission. And I know from an organizational perspective, that's one of the areas that we don't seem to continuously be aligned with. And I do have a concern about that. Generally, when we have a complex organization like we do, you have your vision and mission, which we already have, the Nation of Strong Families Built on Genealogy Gwalehoda, and then our mission to strengthen and protect our land, enhance our sovereignty, blah, blah, blah. Usually what will happen is those subsequent units will have a purpose statement, and that purpose statement defines how they're implementing those missions and visions of the organization. And while I really appreciate the fact that a lot of the departments have taken the effort to put the missions together so that they can provide guidance to their department, we still haven't aligned all of those things. Mm-hmm. And my concern is that by us allowing or putting in writing that we're expecting them to do a mission, we're getting ourselves further away from alignment than we are bringing ourselves closer together. So I would respectfully ask that we consider adding language like it must align with the nation's overall vision and mission, or we change it to a purpose statement, or something to that effect.
I understand it. In that, starting on lines 113, the process is instilled in that, but I understand what you're talking about, because the operational plans are succinct. To the area.
Correct.
And yep. They don't really come
correct
up. And yep. So the process underneath that is to try and help connect it.
Yep.
But I understand what you're saying in that. This is specifically from the Budget Management and Control Act in this area, so I don't know if it would need another whereas or a clarification whereas.
Joanne.
So, the entire resolution is set up to provide history and direction regarding what the Budget Management Control Act directions are. So if you look at the first resolve that adopts the budget initiative, their fund unit missions will coordinate not only with that, but also with the business committee's strategic directions that were previously adopted. So it is the language directly excerpted from the law. Additional discussion regarding that would probably be helpful, and I would am presuming that that would occur within the budget guidance or budget reference book that the Treasurer is putting together. It is possible to add additional language in there if you wanted to defer it so that I could put that language together. I can work on that in the interim.
I don't feel like we need to defer it. I think we're supportive of what we're trying to do. I think it's just clarifying, making sure that we're staying in alignment instead of everybody believing that it's okay to, without further clarification, what I'm afraid will happen is that units will think that it's okay for them to create their own instead of trying to align. And I think maybe maybe it could be like in the cover memo,
right?
Whatever. But so I'm just raising it as a concern. I don't think we need to not move forward with it, but if we can just include that somewhere so that it's clear to our direct reports as it filters down in the organization that this is our intention.
Yeah, there has to be a cover memo and an explanation when it gets ready to sent out to the operations, as well as, and that will be part of the guidebook, but that will, we can clarify that section for sure.
Change that verbiage in that
one? No, this is according to the law.
Okay.
Right.
Joanne?
But I think the other part of that is in that last resolve that requires they be forwarded to the organizational specialist and not just the financial aspects, is to ensure that if they are not in alignment, that we can take this time now. Someone is aware of the entire strategic planning activities, are in the long-term awareness of the tribe from a full-time regular employee. Would have that ability then to say, you've sent me a fund unit mission that doesn't align with the strategic goals of the business committee, and you will need to make those changes. And so we have two separate eyes looking at it, one from a pure budget perspective, one from the organizational perspective. So we tried to capture that so we would have that eyesight on it also.
Any more questions or discussion on the resolution? If so, a motion would be in order at this time.
Mr. Chairman?
Trish?
I'd make a motion to adopt a resolution entitled Fiscal Years 2019 to 22 Triennial Strategic Financial Planning.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Any other discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor of the resolution signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you. On to the next resolution, entitled The Third Extension of the Effective Date of the Community Support Fund Law. Brandon?
Can we have three extensions?
I'm going to have to ask, yeah. This is, being more familiar with this, you know, and I know there was turnover. There was a switching of job roles in the area. And the previous extension was extended because of scheduling and management issues. And so this is where I'm kind of getting concerned because it's almost, it'll be a full year.
Yeah.
By the time the law was adopted and then the rules will be in place. And so this is, most rules are taking some time, but not this amount of time. And so that's kind of where the concern is it has to be said. And I know you guys have probably have a good answer, and you guys will probably get them done by then, but it has to be said. And so moving forward with the rules, we're going to have a standard, you know, what we tried to work on through the change and the amendments in the rulemaking law on how to process rules a little bit more effectively. But this one, I think, was an anomaly because it was a changeover in positions. One was a management issue. And so now it's compounding into a year-long process of creating rules to be effective. And so ultimately, the new rules don't come into effect and all the old ones stay in place until we get this moving on. So it's more just a getting on my executive role, you know, position and making sure that we see these keep moving. And so, yeah, it's just something I had to say, and, you know, we dealt with it last term. And right. So it's just a continuation.
Yeah, I guess I'm agreeing with you. These rules have taken quite some time, and there's been issues with changes in staff, and I think the LOC and the LRO staff have been as accommodating as we can be, but I agree there might be something we have to do in the future with regards to the rulemaking law.
Any other discussion?
Just how close are we to getting the rules done?
The last review of our, when we were almost had it finalized, we realized that some of the rulemaking and the law didn't match.
Okay.
So we had to ensure that part of the law wasn't initially included was included. So
okay.
We had to add some of those things.
Okay.
And then that's kind of where this extension came from,
okay.
Is that there were some missing pieces to the rule. So the timeline that was given by Clarissa has this being finished with this, as long as everything matches up and everything is good to go by January 24th, 2018.
Okay.
Lisa?
I'll make a motion to adopt the resolution titled Third Extension of the Effective Date of the Community Support Fund Law.
I'll Trish. Second for discussion.
Trish for discussion.
In line with the Vice Chair's comments, I guess I'd look for an alternative plan. If these can't be done, then what is the alternative? What if the rules are not completed by this time, understanding all of the situations that we're currently under, then what happens next?
It's my understanding that this date of January was chosen by the law, the community supports law, legal representation from the law office, and that there was conversation between Attorney Gordon and community support. If these rules aren't done by January 25th, I don't know that the LRO or the LOC has a recourse. It's kind of on community support to get it done. We've done all the things that need to get done.
Any more discussion on the motion? Seeing no more discussion, we'll vote on the resolution. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next we have Standing Committee, Finance Committee. Approve the October 16th Finance Committee meeting minutes. David?
Motion to approve the Finance Committee meeting minutes of October 16, 2017.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Any discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Abstain.
One abstention, Jenny Webster. Next, under new business, we have approved power purchase agreement between Oneida Nation and Oneida Nation Solar LLC, file number 2017-0873. Mike Troji and Sylvia.
Good morning.
Good morning. Mike Troji with the Environmental Department, project manager for the solar deployment project. Real brief update on the project. So all of the modules have been installed on the roofs of the buildings, the seven buildings that we've been that have been devoted to the project. They're currently working on the wiring of the project and getting that interconnected with the utilities. We are still shooting for essentially a December 1st commissioning of the project to actually turn on the project and start producing power. And as what's been discussed for several months now as far as the power purchase agreement, Oneida Nation and the investor who invested $1 million match to our $1 million grant have formed a limited liability company, and many reasons for this, but the primary reason is to allow the investor to take advantage of tax credits for energy projects. We've done a considerable amount of planning on the legal and financial end of this project, as well as the technical side of things, and I think we've developed a pretty good contract to help minimize risk for the tribe, as well as provide a short-term, relatively short-term contract agreement, and allowing the tribe to actually take over the project as a single owner of the project within a few years' time, 6 to 7 years' time. In the meantime, though, we need to essentially pay for solar power for the time, for these 6 to 7 years, on the order of approximately $80,000 per year. Again, that power is replacing utility power that we would otherwise be paying for. There have been some issues come up over the discussions of the project and so forth, and certainly one item that we need to address is the possible future of what the IMAC facility and the annex facility may have in the coming years. We are going to reevaluate buildings that were on the existing building list and see what kind of opportunities there are to relocate these systems to other sites. Turtle School might be an opportunity there. And also, I want to follow up with gaming management, and I believe Councilman Vice Chair Stevens to address some of those issues as well, and see what kind of a planning is going to occur over the coming years, and work is going to occur over the coming years, and see how we can kind of strategically move the solar as necessary. With that said, I would like to ask the business committee for their approval of the power purchase agreement so that when the system becomes commissioned and starts generating power, we can actually move forward with the terms of the agreement.
Joanne?
This contract is in front of the business committee for approval because it involves multiple buildings with no one single owner to sign off on the contract. So the business committee is being requested to approve the document.
Any discussion or questions?
You got the update yesterday about the sovereign finance portion of it. Okay.
I guess we're looking for a motion.
Mr. Chairman.
Lisa.
I'll make a motion to approve the agreement, Oneida Nation Solar LLC Solar Power Purchase Agreement, First Amendment.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Any discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next on our agenda under new business is to schedule a special executive business committee meeting on December 15, 2017 at 9 a.m. for the purpose of reviewing and approving year-end fiscal statement from RSM U.S. and forward to the annual GTC meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Any discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next up, we have travel reports. Approved travel report for Treasurer Trish King, Native American Finance Officers Association, Fall Finance and Tribal Economics Conference in Tulsa, Oklahoma, October 1st through the 4th.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Any discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. And then we can go on to executive session. So executive session, we have the Bay Bank Corporation fiscal year 2017 fourth quarter report.
Mr. Chair.
Trish.
Motion to accept the report.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. So no discussion on executive session items, so we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next up, we have accept the Oneida ESC Group LLC fiscal year 17 fourth quarter report.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Third item, accept Oneida 7 Generations Corporation's fiscal year 17 fourth quarter report.
So moved. Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next one is to accept the Oneida Airport Hotel Corporation fiscal year 17 fourth quarter report.
There's another one on the last one.
What is an amendment?
Yeah.
Okay.
A motion to accept the verbal litigation update dated October 24th, 2017.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Accept the Oneida Airport Hotel Corporation fiscal year 17 fourth quarter report.
So moved.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is accept the Oneida Gulf Enterprise fiscal year 17 fourth quarter report.
So moved.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions?
Stay.
One abstention, Lisa. Motion passes. The next item is to accept the chief counsel report.
So moved.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The second part was to approve a Hobbs, Strauss, Dean & Walker LLP contract file 2017-1264.
So moved.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next item is to accept the Chief Financial Officer's report.
Second.
Motion by Trish and seconded by David. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Accept the Intergovernmental Affairs and Communications report.
So moved. Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. We have the Oneida Golf Enterprise Ladies Professional Golf Association report.
Move to accept.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions?
Abstain.
One abstention, Lisa. All motion passes. Audit Committee. Accept the Audit Committee Fiscal Year 17 Fourth Quarter Report.
So moved.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Unfinished business. We have the closeout report. Oneida Language Department transition. There was no report submitted, so I think the motion was to defer to the next meeting.
So moved.
Motion by David, seconded by Jenny. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Just for clarification, are you following up with that yet?
Yeah.
We didn't really talk about it yesterday.
No, we didn't. This is...
Reminder, they just forgot to send an email back to ask to defer.
Oh, okay.
Okay, the next item is to accept the updates on transition of Public Works Division, Land and Environment Division, and Community Economic Development Division. I think there was a few motions. Someone got the notes.
Mr. Chair?
Jenny?
I'll make a motion to accept the report as information and defer the job description to the next meeting.
Motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions?
Abstain.
One abstention, David. Motion carries.
Trish?
Was there any subsequent motions on that item, or is that one done?
I gotta speak a little. That way it sounds like this.
That was it, yeah.
Okay.
New business, we have the final report and recommendations regarding the business committee retreat held on October 13th, 2017.
Motion to accept the meeting notes from the retreat.
Motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. One abstention, Lisa. Motion carries. There was subsequent motion, David?
Follow-up motion was to defer the officers to meet with the Internal Services Director, Chief Counsel, and Environmental Health and Safety Director to follow up with retreat notes.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Was that it for that item? Review memorandum of Sovereign Finance dated October 20th, 2017.
Mr. Chair?
Jenny?
I'll make a motion to accept the Sovereign Finance memo as FYI and have Vice Chair work with Gaming General Manager to ensure the concerns regarding IMAC are properly addressed and carried forward in all gaming facilities feasibility plans.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Oppose? Abstentions?
Abstain.
One abstention. Motion carries. Mm-hmm. The next item is enter the e-poll results into the record in accordance with the Oneida Business Meeting SOP entitled Conducting Electronic Voting. And this is the approval of the One Law Group SC contract file number 2017-1268.
So moved.
Motion by David, seconded by Trish. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. And that concludes our executive session portion of the agenda. So we'll be recessing until, was it 1:30? For the operational report, I'm guessing.
Motion to recess to 1:30. Second.
Motion to recess till 1:30 has been made and seconded. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you.
Okay, I'll call this meeting back into session at 1:32. And let's see, first up we have the Comprehensive Health Division quarterly report. David Danforth and Dr. Veer. Okay. Take
good
it
afternoon.
Away.
So we'll just give you a few of the highlights from the fourth quarter for the Comprehensive Health Division, which is July to September of 17. Of course, for those of you who are new and have not seen one of our quarterly reports, we always include the composition of the Comprehensive Health Division, which is the Oneida Health Center, Anna John Resident-Centered Care Community, Oneida Behavioral Health, and Employee Health Services. That makes up the entire Comprehensive Health Division. Then we also include our vision, our mission, and our values, and then our 2015 to 2018 strategic plan and our four focus areas of improved population health management, continuous quality improvement, optimize technology, and enhance our workforce. Our initiatives are also included in our quarterly report and how we plan to stay focused to achieve those strategies. Our three initiatives are accreditation, advancing technology, and optimize staffing processes. We try to include an update as to where we are in the process with those initiatives as we continue to move forward. And then our report is structured so that we focus on those particular areas. So our first area, and I'll turn that over to Dr. Veer, is improved population health management.
Good afternoon. I'd like to start with some highlights on the optimizing of staffing processes and accreditation. We have hired providers. There's Candace Crabb, who joined us in August of 2017. She's a family nurse practitioner. Dr. Kennard, who's been with us almost 8 years now, was recently promoted. He's Commissioned Corps Captain. He was a commander, now he's a captain. He was deployed, as you probably heard in one of the updates, he was deployed to Hurricane Harvey and then Irma for almost a month. And he's now back full-time with us, at least for now. There was some talk of him being deployed to Puerto Rico, but that's on hold for now. This morning we saw the 25-year anniversaries, and that was a wonderful thing to be able to attend. That also tells us our workforce is aging, and one of our lab supervisors retired just recently, and we're looking to fill that vacancy within our as a lab supervisor. Coming to the medical and behavioral health access to care, which we track on a weekly basis, those reports are attached in the appendix. We are 4 to 8 weeks out for routine appointments in the medical clinic and 8 weeks for mental health. We have also a retirement in psychiatry that has pushed our psychiatry access to past 3 months. We've always been in the 6 to 8 weeks range. We're now short one full-time, one psychiatrist, and we have two candidates we're looking at to try to fill that vacancy so we can get our access to psychiatry back up to speed. Optical routine appointments are out 5 months. which is trending what we've been in the last several reports that we made. This is not a change. Our urgent appointments are available same day, and we also have walk-ins available twice a week for folks wanting to be seen. So we have access sooner than 5 months, but if there's someone scheduling a routine eye checkup, then those appointments are out that long. Dental appointments are out 11 weeks for routine appointments, and emergencies obviously are seen same day or next day. That access is available for emergencies.
For Anna John, the Anna John Resident Centered Care Community, we included a chart that lists the total billable days for the residents that we've had for each month, July, August, and September. Our average census continues to be between 40 and 44. One of the highlights that I wanted to mention specifically is that September 26th to the 28th, we had the state surveyors come in. Both Dave Larson and myself happened to be out in Washington, and so the staff were handling the state survey on their own during this time period. We actually had an excellent survey. We were able to call in for the exit interview with the state surveyors. We ended up with actually, at the time when we prepared the report, it was a possibility of 3 to 4 low-level citations. However, we ended up with 3 low-level citations, all of which were rectified and addressed by the time the survey crew left. However, because it was a finding, we still get that listed in our survey. And basically, it was an issue of one was an issue of documentation, and the other two were an issue of improper administration of the medication that was left for a patient in the room rather than actually witnessing the medication taking or the patient taking that medication. So it was very low level, nothing that was major. The state survey team did comment that it was an excellent survey and that the staff were clearly doing an excellent job. They were very friendly, kind, and caring for all of the residents and all of the visitors, and they were extremely impressed with the staff and with our facility. So I think that's important to note, and our staff are going to be holding a celebration probably within the next week or so over at the Anna John for their accomplishments with the state survey. Our next section is optimized technology, and I'll have Dr. Veer cover that.
We recently upgraded to our latest version on the GE Centricity electronic health record, and that went very well. That's improved our ability to refill prescriptions in a more efficient manner. It also gives us the capability of electronically prescribing those SCED 2 medications which are currently being prescribed by on paper. So that's our next project to make that happen. That's a two-factor authentication process like some of the banks do. So this system allows us to have that capability, and we're going to implement that in the near future. So there's a project team working on getting that accomplished in the future. We also have the e-signature process that is live as of August in behavioral health. What that allows us to do is use some of those forms that are were on paper and then had to be scanned into the EMR. Now patients can come in, they get an iPad, review those forms, sign them, and they get directly integrated within the EMR. So it's a faster intake process. Our goal is to get some of those clinical forms into the e-signature process as well. That'll help us with some of our clinical processes too. Example being consent for procedures in medical, dental, and also in behavioral health, there's other clinical forms that could be using the e-signature. Similarly, in the registration area, we'll finally be implementing that process on the medical side and in the OCHC departments like dental and optical, so folks don't have to sign their consent on paper forms and then transfer it to the EMR. So this will be a more seamless and more user-friendly process. So that's currently being piloted and being successfully used at Behavioral Health, and our goal is to get this to all the other areas in the division as well.
Also, under the electronic record or optimizing technology is the patient management side of the house, and basically what the highlight is for that section is that we are in process, and I know we've provided that update in some of the updates with the business committee, but we are in the process of implementing a RAVE alert system, which is the emergency notification system that will be able to contact all of our employees via text message and or emails, so that if there is the event of a closure, we can go ahead and get mass notification out to all of our employees on a simultaneous basis, which will help improve the process. We have had a manual process in place, and we are very hopeful that this electronic process will help to expedite that process much quicker than what we have had in the past. Next is the continuous quality improvement, and our initiative there is under accreditation. Accreditation of the health division is continuing to move forward with our goal to have our application submitted for the AAHC by the end of December, first part of January, and we are on target to get that done. We have had all of the departments have been continuing to meet on a regular basis on all of the chapters to assure that we are in compliance with those chapters for the accreditation process for AAHC. With the public health accreditation, I first want to thank the committee members that were able to participate in that process. We did have the actual on-site survey that took place October 4th and 5th, and the preparation for that public health accreditation actually took place over a course of about 2.5 years prior to that event. And so we are hopeful that we should hear the results of that survey hopefully by middle of November. And if not middle of November, then it'll be pushed out to the middle to the end of February of 2018. We were very hopeful that the questions that the surveyors had, we got a sense that those questions went well. There was a lot of partnership that took place between the business committee as well as other entities within the organization. So we were pretty confident that our survey went well during that time. The next part is our enhancing our workforce and the initiative. Yep.
I'm going to also add on that. Continuous quality improvement. We had our CLIA survey. That's the lab survey that's done biannually by the state for CMS, and that was an exceptional survey with no deficiencies identified. We received our official notification as of last week, and we are certified for 2 years.
Under enhancing our workforce, we have a total of 343 employees throughout the division, and the breakdown for each of those areas is included in the report, so I'm not going to cover a lot of that. The next section is our financials, which is also included in the report. I think the biggest thing I want to emphasize again there is tribal contribution percentage for FY17 was 3.07%. Primarily in those areas that require tribal contributions, such as the matches for some of our grants, as well as our employee health nursing department and Anna John. So that is our percentage for tribal contribution, and the primary source of our revenues, Indian Health Service being 35.5% of our total budget, and 57.66% being made up under the third-party revenues, Medicare, Medicaid, and private insurances. So I think we ended up, our actuals for FY17, tribal contribution ended up being a little bit higher than what we anticipated, which was at 7.43%. Our grants were at 4.37%, and then our third-party revenues ended up at 58.91%, and Indian Health Service dollars were at 29.29%, still within our budgets, and still for Consolidated Health at zero tribal contribution. The primary tribal contribution coming in under, as I said previously, Anna John and our employee health nursing and required matches.
Just some of the highlights from the celebrations and successes. One of the big things we wanted to mention is that the special diabetes program for Indians was reauthorized for 3 months to December 31st of 2017. We're not really certain at this point what's going to happen after that, but we keep monitoring that at the federal level in terms of what's going to happen. We're also monitoring some of the changes that are taking place according to the executive orders that are coming across in terms of the Affordable Care Act and the impact that some of those are having. The biggest impact at this point that we foresee having a direct impact on us right now is the subsidies that may change. We're not going to see an impact right now, but a year from now we may see some changes in terms of subsidies if individuals lose insurance coverage if they're no longer able to afford those subsidies once they're taken away. So some of those things we continue to monitor, and we won't see the direct impact this year, but we'll see it down the road as it comes forward. Safety Town was another big success that was held in August. We had a total of 82 children that were in attendance. We had 68 booster seats that were installed and 78 helmets distributed with 119 people attending the graduation ceremonies. We've had and continue to have a lot of work at the state level and the federal level in terms of the waivers and how we're moving forward with that. One big highlight for our employee health nursing is we had a total of 1,603 employees and 23 spouses that completed the health risk appraisals for 2017. We had 439 employees that signed up for the reasonable alternative standards as of the end of September. And we had another huge success with the annual diabetes event, which took place in August. We were, again, a sellout crowd. Tickets went on sale, and within 2 weeks, they were sold out. So that continues to be a very positive community event. And one of the other things that I just wanted to mention is that we continue to move forward in terms of success with our health promotion disease prevention program. One of the things I think is important to mention, if you look at the curriculum showing results under the health promotion disease prevention, they've had an average weight loss of 14.4 pounds for the program. And they had a total weight loss for one of the individuals of 40-plus pounds in the 16-week program for the diabetes prevention program that they're implementing. This is a new curriculum that is that they are implementing, and they have submitted the paperwork to become officially certified under Medicare for the CMS DPP program, and they're having good success with that program. So we'll be able to, once certified, be able to bill for those services as we move forward. If you want to talk about the Tribal Action Plan.
Sure. We actively are engaged in the Tribal Action Plan. The committee that's working on the goals and objectives, we've had a couple of meetings. We also are in the – we applied for the Zero Suicide Grant, and I was on the agenda this morning to have a resolution in support of that initiative. That's initiative that we were actually one of the 10 agencies selected in the nation to participate in training at in Albuquerque, and we accomplished that in September, and we applied for a grant, which we should know next month if that's awarded to us. That really will help us create a collaborative model for addressing the suicide risk within the community. So it actually segues very well into the Tribal Action Plan in terms of how different agencies can help deal with issues that impact the community. Suicide prevention program, even though the focus is suicide prevention, is actually a process improvement model that helps address issues that are in, impacting communities. And how, so Tribal Action Plan is kind of doing the same thing to address drug abuse within the community. And there's a lot of overlap between drug abuse and mental health issues and suicide. So a lot of those lessons that we learn in suicide prevention are applicable to the drug abuse challenge that we're facing in the community. So that's really We're excited to have that team already up and running. We've been working on a template and some goals and objectives for that plan as well. I'd also like to add on the diabetes front, we, as Debbie mentioned, we had a really successful diabetes annual event. We also had a diabetes walk with 140 participants. The health promotions and disease prevention team is looking at a diabetes prevention program certification through CDC. So that really helps us get to a level where we get acknowledged and reimbursed for the services we already provide. And that really will get us to a further in the journey of really tackling diabetes as a disease which is primarily a lifestyle disease. And if we can improve lifestyles, we can treat and prevent diabetes and really impact this condition within the community. So it's a it's exciting to be able to report on these the progress that we're making.
With that, any questions?
Any questions? Trish?
I know we were dealing with trying to figure out a better budgeting process for the Medicaid reimbursements for the Energon. And Jeff did give me some ideas on how to, but has there been any decisions on how to plan that out a little bit closer to budget so it's not such a huge overage at the last minute?
We don't really have any control over when the state and CMS tells us what those Medicaid changes are going to be. We can do our best guesstimate, but that's really about the only way that we can do it. The other way we could do it is to plan at the far end, you know, the highest level in terms of what those changes could be, and hope for the best when those changes do come across, because we don't have any control over what they're going to be. It's determined at the state level and at the federal level.
Okay, so there was talk about an audit. When the audit comes in, the person that's supposed to be doing the audit for that, the FQHC?
For the FQHC. Mm-hmm.
And when, do you know when that's going to be scheduled?
It's based on when the state gives us their availability. We submit our cost reports, and then based on their availability, they notify us, and sometimes we get a week or two notice that they're going to be here on this day. And so they get our cost reports on a regular basis, and then they come in, and occasionally we'll do three or four cost reports at a time. So it'll be 3 or 4 years of cost reports that they'll come over and they'll audit all of those eligible visits. So there's only one person that comes, and that person left and now is back at the state. So it's been a huge changeover at the state level, trying to determine who's going to be there and who's familiar with our process. All of the tribes are having the same issues with the FQHC status and the state auditors.
So this year it was kind of high. And that's because the rate doesn't change until the end of the year. So it comes in after we...
It comes in well after we submit our budgets for that year.
So then that adjustment doesn't get... I mean, we don't know what that adjustment is. So that's what I'm wondering, if there's a better process that we can get to. To even if it's using that 3-year trending as maybe a support or something to create the next year's budget, just so we're not hitting the budget at the last minute, you know, with a huge amount increase there. That'd be helpful.
I think another complication to add on top of that is really the payer mix, where you can't predict the payer mix, how many of those folks are going to be short-term rehab versus long-term care, and that mix keeps changing, so that adds to the complexity of how you really project what's going to happen a year from now.
Yeah. I know there's a lot of variables in that.
From my perspective, I would recommend using the rate that was established in the prior fiscal year and not to include any increase, because it would be
the rate would be at least that, or if it actually goes down from year to year, maybe take the average of what the rate has gone down in the past 3 to 5 years and project that on the rate. It's always better to underestimate reimbursements for the nursing home as opposed to overestimating them.
The revenue covering it. Thank you.
Ernie? Thanks for the report. I'm sure you guys put a lot of time and effort to put this together, and so I want to thank you for that, but I also want to take a brief moment to share a couple of things that might be a little more immeasurable. You know, positive things that I guess personally that I've experienced from your area, and then things I've heard from you know, from other community members and seen it firsthand with other people. And I guess the level of customer service in the last year alone has increased a lot that I've noticed. You know, going to the dentist, for example, is now, you know, it's a pleasant experience. It's kind of like Bill Murray in Little Shop of Horrors, you know, going to see Steve Martin. I actually enjoy it. But in my dental health has increased with that. So it would just, you just hear a lot of things like that in the community, and I just think it goes a long way, and sometimes it might be difficult, especially for you to measure that. Maybe you don't see it and hear it every day, but just kind of wanted to let you know that it's out there. I've seen it, and I appreciate it, and especially on a very personal level with Anna John. You know, I've lost a great-grandmother and a grandmother in the last 4 or 5 years now, and they spent their last days in that place, and so it is special. And now we have a grandfather there, and it's a special place, you know, and it going back to the early, to the planning of it, what it was meant to do. And we looked at the financials, we looked at all those different things, but the immeasurables that are starting to come forth that we see now for our community members and their families. I just wanted to take a quick moment to relay that appreciation to the work that your guys, your area does that you may not see or experience or are able to put into a graph. So thank you.
David?
Yeah, I just want to congratulate you guys on all your successes as well. I think you guys are doing a great job over there. I never really hear too many complaints at all. And when I go over to myself, the health center or the nursing home, I see that people are satisfied with what I see with my own eyes and are happy. So with that, I'm going to accept your report and thank you.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. I just wanted to kind of echo those words. And we did pass the resolution this morning for the zero suicide. So $400,000 will help in those efforts. And so the one thing that I was, that me and DeHasio, the chairman, were talking about is just how do we get those service providers in the behavioral health area? It's going to be very difficult. And we almost have to raise, you know, we have to pull them from other areas or, you know, facilities. And how to do that, you know, is going to be proved kind of difficult. And if we need to go to IHS and increase, you know, everybody else is going to do the same thing, the wages. And so there's strategies, and I think through the TAP we'll figure out how we can do that. We're looking at family coaches, things like that. So, you know, a lot of those social indicators are arising from the home. And so whether it's mental health issues, diabetes, you know, eating habits, healthy lifestyles, budget management, all those things derive from the home. And so getting them outside into a facility that's institutional doesn't really help, you know, holistically. And so the TAP will be able to help bring those resources in, kind of bring those resources to where they're supposed to be, you know, within the home. And I think that's something we will look forward to in the TAP. So, you know, whatever we can do to help, I mean, we'll be there. And most of us have taken a personal role in helping with the furthering of this travel action plan. So with that, if there's no any comments, I'll call for the question for the vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Community Economic Development Division, fourth quarter report. Troy and James.
I think I just already had. I guess I don't know if it's in our system. Hey, good afternoon. Just a couple highlights. We started off the report just kind of how we picking off where we ended up at the end of the third quarter, which was the completion of the separation and the formal split between what was the formal development division and now the Community Economic Development Division, then the Division of Public Works or Department of Public Works Division. As we move forward, a good portion of our focus is where there hasn't been effort placed in a number of years, and that is in economic planning. And as you know, during the fourth quarter, we brought forth a proposal for an economic development strategy for the Oneida Nation. We were successful in getting that approved a couple weeks ago, still in the fourth quarter, to advance that effort forward. And as we move forward over the next two quarters, in quarter one and two of FY18, we will be developing a new strategic plan for economic development on purpose for the nation. So that's really exciting. It's an effort that's been a couple years in the making, and we're very excited to move it forward. Again, the end goal being ultimately to diversify revenue streams and add new revenue to the organization and to the nation. With that, there are some budget highlights that James would be happy to answer any questions you may have of the quarter in terms of the budget. We've also highlighted some of the active projects that are moving forward, the forepass. There's some progress images of the interior finishes of that facility. There's also the Maple Sugar Camp, which is a great community project that is a collaboration between NWTC's trades and carpentry program, as well as with the high school, and it's a learning experience as much as it is a future experiential place to take part in harvesting of maple syrup. So it's an exciting little project. But the full list of active engineering projects are on the report. The highlights of some of the efforts in planning GIS statistics are listed, as well as some accomplishments within the transportation planning area, which James could highlight.
So for the end of the quarter, we finished off Town Road, Ranch Road, Ellisquit, and in middle of September, we finished Abintoxin and Paulus for this year. Then we're working on some safety planning for the next year, for this upcoming year. And then the Tribal Transportation Conference is in November, so we'll work on some collaborations with other tribes as well, especially on the safety planning end, because that's what my focus would want to be coming up in the next year. But, yeah, that's all I'd have for that area.
Just a curiosity question, I guess. This is the end of the year or the end of the quarter?
This is the end of the year.
Okay. So for engineering, it's a 34.68% variance?
Yep, that's correct.
What happened there?
Well, the budget didn't get approved for a number of months, so the CIP projects, some of the CIP projects were started later on during the fiscal year, so we had to recoup some of those dollars. So, of course, we know that CIP can go on from year to year, so we didn't project, of course, for that fiscal year for those projects to go over into the next fiscal year. But for this fiscal year, we should have, you know, we should have some positive variance in that area for engineering. So we're going to recoup some of the billing hours.
Okay, so with the overall budget, the whole overall division is balanced fairly equitably.
Yeah, we're at 4% positive variance.
Yeah, but I'm just looking at the specific areas. So with engineering being at 34.68%, and even if the projects didn't come in till late, there was a lot of misunderstanding, I guess, and nobody relayed it to me until the end of the year. In regards to the continuing budget resolution, it was a manager's decision on whether or not to implement some certain impacts, so to carry them out. But this is above the budget, so that's why I'm kind of concerned about that. And then the other one was for the zoning, which was extremely under budget by 28.2%. And again, wondering what that that would imply that something that was budgeted for didn't get accomplished.
Actually, we have a $70,000 positive variance in zoning.
Correct. So what I'm saying is that I'm trying to get to variances to be at 3 to 5% for the year. And that's at $70,000 or 28.2%. So that's an indicator to me that something didn't get accomplished or that there was an over budget for something that... But
those areas weren't over budgeted in zoning. I mean, we received revenues that we didn't anticipate for that year, I mean, and we also collected on some fines for that year.
In specific, there was a tremendous surge with the Walmart, Sam's upgrades that occurred, and we have now, I think it was the highest valued permit that we've ever experienced in zoning. It was it accounted for a good portion of that. Zoning has never seen a permit that large. This when it's done, will be the most technologically advanced Sam's Club in the U.S., and they're doing a tremendous amount of upgrades there, which leads to a higher cost project, more areas touched, and ultimately led to a higher permit fee.
Okay, so that's increased revenue that came in there?
That's correct.
So I'm just looking at the chart with the budget.
It's not that we over-budgeted, we had an extra employees at all. It's the increase in revenues.
Okay, and then GLIS was the same thing with a savings in there.
Yeah.
So I'm looking to see if your employee base is going up, it's going down, your operations are your...
That was based on employee savings.
Okay. So I'm still a little concerned about engineering, though, so I don't know what that is.
Well, if you're, I think that engineering is based upon the hours is partially tribal contribution but partially charged to the project. And as James described, because the projects weren't activated till late in the year, I think that ebb and flow will occur over a couple of fiscal years of the allocation of those hours through the project and expensing to the project, as opposed to just within this fiscal year, because the projects flow again across fiscal year and then are ultimately capitalized against at the end of the project, I should say, not by fiscal year.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks for the explanation. I think that really helped. It's been happening over the last couple of years since we had to do those continued resolutions, and you don't hear the detail all the time. So there's a money shift, and I don't understand it until, you know, we kind of explain
it. Explained.
Because if we don't get the budget approved and we don't get the CIP funds activated, then projects are going to lag for months, so we're not going to be able to collect the billable hours for those projects.
Okay. Belinda?
I think the explanation really should be that what you're looking at in the packet is not their overall budget, it's just their tribal contribution dollars. So, for example, in engineering, as the CIP projects progress, there's a billing to the CIP project. So their tribal contribution in 2017 is higher than their budget amount because those revenues from the CIP project didn't come in 2017. They'll come in 2018. So it would be expected in 2018 and beyond that the tribal contribution necessary for engineering would be less. In zoning, they had the big permit come in that they didn't know to anticipate when they were putting together their budget. So they had allocated tribal contribution for services, and they will not need that because the permit came in. So what you're looking at is not the overall budget. It's just the tribal contribution dollars.
Okay. That's helpful. Thank you. And it doesn't identify that in here at all, so that's what I was looking for.
Okay. Any more
questions?
That's my
question.
David?
Okay, I'll make a motion to accept the report.
Motion by David to accept the report.
Second.
Second by Jenny. Discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Thanks, guys.
In the meantime, thanks, Jim, keeping on the good work.
Yeah, keep up the good work.
I'm excited for the next phase.
Public Works Division Fiscal Fiscal 17 Fourth Quarter Report. Jackie. All right. Thank you. Take your time. I don't want to rush you. Here.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I do have a meeting with housing right after this, so I might be a little more brief than the others.
Okay.
But if you do have questions, just interject as I go. I was just going to go through the summary of it. The numbers that Trish will be interested in is that we are $1 million to the positive variance as of August. We did not have September closed by the time we needed to submit our report. This is a 10% variance for us. I would estimate about 60% of that is personnel from facilities and custodial departments. Some of this variance is going to change quite a bit based on the adjustments that were made to market in late spring and early summer. So we haven't seen those full payrolls on here yet. Some of it was there is a shift in groundskeeping and what we're trying to do there. I think you've seen it with the landscaping. And
very nice, by the way. Thank you.
Yeah, they're doing excellent. And moving some positions that maybe we can find some efficiencies with custodial and put those towards groundskeeping instead. So we're not adding positions, but maneuvering people around where we can add some services and not see a increase in personnel. We've done quite a few during evaluations, we looked at some career plans that personnel had at all levels, and if they needed to look at a job change and their interests were different than the job they were in. We've had several successes. I feel as far as taking an administrative position person and transferring to social services as far as one of the internships go to get that experience. We had a groundskeeper join the language department as a trainee. We had an administration person that is interested in becoming an electrical helper, groundskeeper that's going into admin, and a groundskeeper, couple groundskeepers with master's and bachelor's degrees that are working with environmental. So those departments are working with us to help them get the experience. So when there is a job opening, they'll be ready to step into that. So it's kind of exciting to see those people so much happier in a different type of job than they were struggling in maybe before or they didn't care for. One of the biggest projects that we've done, it's just about wrapping up, they have some equipment to pull down, is the water tower repainting. And I don't know if you've all had a chance to take a good look at the new logo on there, but I think it looks pretty nice for how detailed it is. It's still shows up pretty good. We did have to carry over some of the funds from FY17 to 18 for the CapEx. We do have the FY18 control numbers already this year, so we're hoping that we get going right away on these FY18 projects and we don't see that happening next year as far as, you know, going to the very end and not getting these projects done. The issue is sometimes with the schools where we have to wait till school's out. It's a long project. So, but we're trying to get the request for proposals out even for next spring, get a jump on that. So that really will be helpful. There's even some equipment we're hoping to purchase before the snow flies. We are involved with the TAP. We have designated people to join that committee, and we're getting Suite 7 ready for meetings to occur there, and of course helping out with the community efforts that are going on right now. We're also very involved with the Highway 54 bridge project for the holiday lighting, trying to get power to all those lights before they get decorated. So I know you each have a tree out there that you're supposed to get lights on, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. David?
Yep. That's one thing I want to congratulate you on as well with your team. beautifying the reservation. It's they're doing a really good job, and I can't say it enough. I even actually stopped out front when they were planting and told them all themselves that they did a great job. And along with, I don't know if it's your team or who's cutting the grass along 54, it's a huge improvement. So thanks.
Thank you. They really appreciate the comments and compliments that you guys give them, and it's encouraging. There's some people that have really, really stepped it up and have the experience in the background to do that, and we just needed to make the resources available.
It makes a difference when people congratulate them and say that they did a nice job. It goes a long way. With that, I'm going to accept your fourth quarter report.
Fourth.
Motion by David to accept the Public Works Division FY17 fourth quarter report, seconded by Trish. Any more discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Aye. Thank you, Jackie.
Thank you.
All right. Last but not least, Governmental Services Division, are you ready, Rot? Have to be like Celine, and she just says, "Well, you have the report in front of you. Have any questions?"
He did send us the email too yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Okay, yeah, if you want to give us just some headlights of the report.
I know Head Start is meeting some challenges with getting teachers on and staying on for the school year. Services had the Elder Expo that I know was very well attended. Education and Training had their College Expo too, which was very well received. I'm not sure what type of information you would like for me to highlight. I know financially there's a positive budget variance for the Parks and Recreation for the Fitness Center, as they were not able to get the exercise equipment in time for the new fiscal year for the CapEx process. Everything else seems pretty on track.
How about the hiring of for the implementation of the children's code for the ongoing workers in the Indian Child Welfare area? When is that scheduled to start?
I know they have a transition plan that I'm sure Jennifer Hargrove has been working on that. I'm not sure you guys did you want to get that?
No, we have the plan. I think there's a three-month window for them to hire five, I believe, workers. And so I'm just curious about the timeline of hopefully getting within that three-month window, because the implementation plan really is dependent on them building the capacity to do that. Their current job, and then the expansion of the jurisdiction with the children's code implementation 15 months from the budget meeting.
Okay. So I can follow up with George and with the team that's working on that, and I'll be sure to get that information to you.
Okay. Go Jenny and then Relinda.
Rocky, what are the hours at recreation?
I believe, I'm not really certain, but I'm thinking until 9 p.m.
It's usually 9. It changes when in the summertime, and I don't know the time.
Yeah. Just that was one of the concerns brought up during the community meetings. Recreation is not open in the evening times when the kids need it.
Okay.
And they're not open on the weekends.
Okay.
And I looked for it in the report, and I didn't see the hours. My kids are aged out, so I don't know.
Okay, GSD has their area managers meeting tomorrow, so I will follow up with the questions and concerns from here and then get them to them and then follow up.
Yeah, okay. To see how soon we could get recreation open on the weekends. Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I'd like to see.
Yeah, the other concern was the code of conduct. And so a lot of these kids come from, social situations that aren't pleasant at home. mm-hmm. and they come and they get either swear or something, and they're kicked out, okay. and they can't go back. And so it's just a punitive thing that just really, it's the only real place to go, especially in Site 1 area. Okay. Linda?
Two things. Just want to clarify the overage in the fitness center. They had budgeted some flooring in their supplies that DPW had also budgeted in CapEx. When it was identified that that was going to be an overage, they asked to purchase equipment with those funds, and unfortunately, because it was not included in the CapEx process, they could not use those funds for a CapEx purchase. And then I believe the work is starting on the children's code right now, because Trina called this morning for the paperwork that's necessary through HRD to start the hiring process.
Okay, thank you. That does, makes sense.
Thank you, Linda.
All right, any more questions?
I'll make a motion to accept the report.
Support.
Motion has been made by Jenny to accept the Governmental Services Division Fiscal 17 Fourth Quarter Report. Second by Ernie.
I just have a quick question then. How do you want the responses to your questions? I mean, because it's, you know, it's a fourth quarter report, but you can have questions currently. So what's the best way to respond? So I don't, we don't want a word until the next FY 2018 report, you know. So just follow up with an email to you.
That would be fine.
That would be fine.
Yeah, I think so.
Think that'd be fine?
Just reference the report and today's date.
Okay.
I was at the community meeting as well, and that was the concern that came from the school principal, that he said our whole reservation's locked up tight as a barrel on the weekends. There's nothing for these children to do. That's why they might be able to get themselves in trouble. So some kind of a volunteership too, to have some people sit, you know, step up and spend some time at the facility on the weekends. I don't know.
I've had that concern myself. Why are they there when people are in school, mm-hmm. when the kids are in school? So
yeah, and setting the programming for it isn't going to take 8 to 4:30. You know,
right.
But there might not be. You might not be able to do it with risk management either, because the volunteership probably won't cover. The risk, so we probably would have to find a way to maybe rotate schedules or something.
Mm-hmm. I think at the Boys and Girls Club, they all arrive like an hour or two before the kids. I think it's like 1:30 or 2. They do their weekly planning on that Monday, and then the rest of the week it's the same thing. That you show up, prepare for the day, and then you know it's like I think like a 10-hour day, 10-hour shift, something like that. So it's something to look at, you know. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'll bring this up to the Parks and Rec area manager tomorrow.
Okay. All right. Any more discussion?
Old question that never gets answered.
Thanks for stepping in.
Oh,
you're welcome.
All right. Call the vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right. Thank you, everyone. Looking for a motion. Thank you, Rocky.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Looking for a motion. Is it David? To adjourn at 2:25 by David, second by Ernie. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.